I'll be reading our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 11. All of the scriptures are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we stand for our gospel lesson. I invite you to stand. From Luke chapter 11. As Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon from Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41. The word of our Lord. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that by your Holy Spirit you bore out our ears. Give us ears to hear so that we will not undergo judgment. Open our eyes so that we may behold wonderful things from your word. And may we be true followers of Jesus Christ. We'll wait upon you now for this, for we pray this in the matchless name of your Son and our Savior. And amen. You may be seated. All right, I have two questions for you. Two questions, ready? First question is this: what is the sign of the prophet Jonah? Somebody may be tempted to raise their hand and answer right now. Don't do that. Just answer it to yourself. First question is this: what is the sign of the prophet Jonah? A lot of people are thinking, I know that one. I've got the answer. Second question is this: why did Jesus answer the request for a sign by saying, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign"? So those are our two questions today. What is the sign of Jonah? And why did Jesus answer? That was a nice question, wasn't it? "Teacher, we would like to see a sign." No sign will be given to you. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. So those are our two questions today. And you know what we get to do right now? We get to look into the word of the Lord. We together get to learn about what Jesus had to say. That's wonderful. And if we have grown groggy about that, we need to get rid of the groggies. This is wonderful. And in doing this today, we might actually learn a little bit about ourselves. All right? So here we go. Before we get into those two questions, I'd like to give you a little bit of a running start. You're welcome to look back a little bit into Matthew chapter 12. I'm actually going to be reminding you of what's been going on since about verse 22, and this is what I'd like to give you. Here's the banner. There's a whole lot of speaking going on. There's a whole lot of speaking going on. Some very weighty words. All the way back at verse 22, there was a man who was brought to Jesus. He was owned by a demon, and he could not speak. Jesus threw the demon out of that man, and that man's tongue was loosed, and he was able to speak. The crowds were amazed, and they spoke. This is what they said: "Could this be the Son of David? Could this be the expected king, the expected Messiah? Could this be the one we've been looking for?" The crowds spoke. Well, the Pharisees didn't like what they were saying, so they speak. A whole lot of speaking going on. And what do they do? It can't be that. So what, they have to accuse Jesus of something else. So they speak and they accuse Jesus of doing his demon removal work by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. Jesus then speaks. Jesus says, Satan's kingdom being divided against itself, it cannot stand. Even if I'm casting out Satan by Satan, his house is being torn apart. His city is being decimated. Jesus continues to speak. He says, if, however, I'm casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has landed upon you. The kingdom of God is right here. Oh, Jesus continues to speak. He said, like David defeating Goliath, and David's defeat of Goliath was followed by the plundering of the Egyptian tents, the Philistine tents. Wow, they were acting like Egyptians, I guess. It's in the head somewhere. After David's conquering of Goliath, the children of Israel plundered the tents of the Philistines. Well, Jesus is saying, I am here defeating the champion, the supposedly strong one, and we're plundering its house. Jesus continues to speak, and you know what he does now? He now continues to speak, and he speaks about their speaking. He says this, blasphemy, which by the way is a speaking against, blasphemy against me, speaking against me, can be forgiven. However, blasphemy, speaking against the Holy Spirit, who speaks of me, can never be forgiven. Ever. Jesus continues to speak, and then he calls them a brood of vipers. You act like you have split tongues. You say this, you say that. You say this, you say that. Brood of vipers, you're a pack of snakes. And by the way, if you're evil, you cannot speak what is good. Your mouth is showing, your mouth is speaking what is in your rotten, evil hearts. Jesus then says this, your own words, your own speaking will condemn you. Whole lot of speaking going on. Jesus even says those little words, those idle words, those barren words. Every little idle or barren word that you speak will pop up and testify either for you or against you. In a sense, your words will speak as well. Your words will speak for you or against you. A whole lot of speaking going on. We come to our passage now, and what happens? The scribes and the Pharisees speak. You got to love the narrative. You got to love the back and forth. They speak, verse 38, and they call Jesus teacher. Teacher, request. We would like to see a sign from you. Let's consider this. You come in here. We're the scribes. We're the Pharisees. You're making all these statements. You come in here with all these heavy words, these strong comments, even condemnation. What right do you have to do this? Who do you think you are to come around us and to talk like this and to say things like, the kingdom of God has come upon us? You can talk like that. You might want to say that the kingdom of God has come upon us. That's all fine and good. We're glad you think so, but we need to see something. You can talk about it all you want, and it sure seems like a lot of talk. There's been a whole lot of speaking going on. How about a little less talk and a lot more action? We'd like to see some deeds. How about some proof? The proof is in the practice. How about a demonstration? Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Now, that's not so unreasonable, is it? That's a fine request. Some of us might have been thinking, yeah, I'd like to see a sign. I'd like to see another demonstration. What's wrong with that request? Is there anything wrong with that request? It sounds so faithful. It sounds so full of faith. It sounds so interested, so inclined, so ready, so religious. It sounds so religious. Good religious question. Teacher, we would like to see something that confirms what you're saying. Show us. It sounds so very concerned that they are following the right person. That's how these questions would always end, with the lips together and a We'd like to see a sign from you. Jesus does not give them what they want. Instead, Jesus says this: an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet, the speaker, the one who speaks the words. No sign will be given to it except the prophet Jonah. No sign. No sign except for one. You will get one sign. So here we are, our first question. What is the sign of the prophet Jonah? You've been thinking about it. You've been dealing with a lot of speaking. You've been dealing with my speaking for just a few minutes. What is the sign of the prophet Jonah? Now, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you five answers for the sign of the prophet Jonah. Okay, five. So you can write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then fill it in. What is the sign of the prophet Jonah? Here we go. And probably the one you're thinking of, I'm not going to get there till the very end. Here we are. What is the sign of the prophet Jonah? First of all, it is this. The sign of the prophet Jonah is a message to unbelievers. Where did Jonah go? To whom did Jonah go? Well, he went down to Joppa. Oh, but he went to Nineveh. The sign of Jonah is, first of all, a message to unbelievers. It is the sending of a prophet, a speaker, a word giver, to a great city marked by great wickedness. Jonah opens this way. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry, speak against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." By the way, later today, if you want, read Jonah chapter 1 again, hear it again, and listen to all, find out, mark all the ups and the downs. Their sin was going up. Great wickedness was going up. The Lord says to Jonah, "I want you to arise. I want you to get up, but I want you to go down to Nineveh." So what does he do? He goes down to Joppa, and then he goes into a ship, and he goes down into the hold of the ship, and the storm rises up, on and on. It's just like a storm. Jonah chapter 1 is like a tempestuous storm, up and down. Whew. The giving of the sign of Jonah is a sign to unbelievers, telling those who just asked for a sign, Jesus is calling them unbelievers. You want a sign? I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. Whoa, Jonah went to unbelievers. What are you saying? We had a very religious question. I will give you one sign, and the one sign only, and it will be the very same sign that was given to Nineveh. Jesus is saying, you are acting like those who do not know me. You are marked by great wickedness. That's the first aspect of the sign of the prophet Jonah. Number two. The sign of the prophet Jonah is a call to repentance. What is the sign of Jonah? It's a call to repentance. The citizens of Nineveh were well known for their wickedness. They were good at it. They were deep in their depravity. What happened in Nineveh didn't stay in Nineveh. They exported it. They were known for it. Oh yeah, they gloried in it. Jonah was sent, and he called them to repentance. It was time to stop. It was time for a change. So number two, the giving of the sign of Jonah was a message that they were condemned unless they repent, unless they stop and turn and change. What is Jesus saying? You're asking for a sign. I'm going to give you one sign, sign of Jonah. You need to repent. Number three, the sign of the prophet Jonah is a sign of reception and rejection. Amazingly, the Ninevites responded to Jonah's preaching and they repented. The outsiders, this great wicked outside Gentile city, turned. They received the word spoken. This repentance, by the way, was pervasive. It was in private and in public. The people of Nineveh and the king of Nineveh humbled themselves. They withdrew from food and drink. They fasted from both. And they were so concerned about their repentance, it affected everything that they did. Their vocation, tending to things. Jonah chapter 2 says, even the animals were fasting from food and drink. The king of Nineveh made a decree. This was private and public. It affected the rooms of their home and their boardrooms of the political leaders. And this is what the king said. We need to turn. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away his fierce anger so that we may not perish? We need to turn so that he will turn. They believed the word of the prophet. Nineveh received the word. And they were received. What a shock. What a shock. You're reading the story of the prophet Jonah. After all of this, and then Jonah goes down into this great fish and down into the bars of the earth, and then he pops up out of that, and he goes onto the land, and the Ninevites, what do you have to say? And they turn, and we're shocked. Whoa, I got to keep reading. Jonah preached, here's a perspective, he preached to those nasty Assyrians, those pig farmers, those Gentiles, those bacon eaters, yet they heard and they believed. And Jesus says that those Ninevites are going to stand in judgment of you. You want the sign of Jonah? You're going to meet these people and they're going to say, you should have listened. Jesus says the men of Nineveh will rise up. Wonder why I use that word rise up. Because of the narrative of Jonah, the up and the down and the tempestuousness. And unless you humble yourself, guess what? Somebody's going to rise up and say, guilty. The men of Nineveh, Jesus says, will rise up in judgment with this generation and they will condemn it. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Whew. The sign of Jonah is about reception, but it's also about rejection. This is, by the way, is the third point. Those who do not hear the word of the prophet will be rejected. The sign of Jonah will condemn those who do not turn. The sign of Jonah, by the way, condemns the condemners. Those people who are always wagging their finger and wagging their tongues. The sign of Jonah says, get ready. You are busy condemning, and you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be on the outside of the kingdom looking in, and you're going to be shocked as to who's in there. The Assyrians? The Ninevites? Jesus is saying with this sign of Jonah, you talk a good talk, but you don't do anything. You remember later on in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus gives that parable. And he's stripping us bare and he's closing our mouths by talking about things that we said. There was a father once who had two sons. And this father had some work to do. And he went to his sons, son one and son two, and says, "Will you go out into the field, into the vineyard, and do some work?" The first son said no, but afterwards regretted it and turned and says, "Yes, father, I'll go." The second son said, "Yes, I'll go. Yes, sir, I'm right on it. It's on my list. I'm on my way. I'm going to do that." But he didn't go. Jesus says, which of those two sons was right? The first one was right, who said no, but then repented, who said, I don't hear you. But then he turned and he did it. Jesus then wraps up that story by saying this. You know, the tax collectors, those whom you despise, and those harlots, those whom you look at, the tax collectors and the harlots, they're going to be in the kingdom of God ahead of you. And you're going to be out there going, how did they get it? They got in because they first said no, tax collector, harlot, but then they said, I'm going to say yes. They're going to get in before you. That's the third. What is the sign of Jonah? That's the third. It's about reception and rejection. Number four, what is the sign of Jonah? The sign of Jonah the prophet was a message of soon to arrive judgment. You could hear it. After Jonah landed on the ground, he was on the ground, went to the ship, on the water, then went into the water, is around in the water, popped out of the water, and he's on the ground. He lands on the ground and he begins to preach his message. And you'll remember this is what he said. He said, yet 40 days, you've got 40 days, and Nineveh's going to be overthrown. There's a soon to arrive judgment. What is Jesus saying with the sign of Jonah? There's a soon to arrive judgment. The sign of Jonah is a sign that judgment is on the horizon. It's just over the crest of the hill there. Then it was 40 days. You'll remember that after Jesus' resurrection, there are other 40s going on. 40 days, Jesus ascended. 40 years later, the temple in Jerusalem was leveled. Done. Shh. Over with. And that destruction of the temple was accomplished by an outside nation. So there we are. What's the sign of Jonah? Oh, there's one to go, so let me repeat. The first one was a message to unbelievers. Sign of Jonah is a message to unbelievers. Number two, it's a call to repentance. Number three, the sign of Jonah is a message of reception and rejection. Number four, it's the sign of Jonah is about a soon-to-arrive judgment. Number five, the sign of Jonah is about death and resurrection. Simple statement, if you don't die, you will not rise. If you're going to stand in pride against Christ, if you will not die, you will not rise. As Jonah the prophet was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, and in the depths of the earth, so also Jesus was 3 days, nights in the heart of the earth. You want one sign? Here's one sign. I'll give you the sign of the prophet Jonah. And they're all going, we know that story. What are you saying? Jesus is saying, this is a sign that you cannot miss. Scribes and the Pharisees have asked for a sign. They want proof about Jesus. They want another indication. And you know what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing? They were acting like Satan, who was asking for a sign. Hey, if you are the Son of God, take a look at these rocks, turn them into bread. If you're the Son of God, step off. Step off. A sign is going to be given, one sign, It means all of this. It's indisputable. You won't be able to miss this. I will die, and I will conquer death. So let us conclude. We dealt with the first question. What is the sign of the prophet Jonah? There, it's that and much more. Now, why did Jesus answer in the way that he did? Very briefly, they asked for a sign. Sounds like a fine religious question. And Jesus says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, looking for a sign." Stop for a moment. Even in our day and age, even today, sign interest, sign seeking, signs everywhere, sign experiences are often portrayed as rather high up on the scale of spirituality. You want to find someone who is quite spiritual? You want to find someone who really cares about the things of God? Then look for someone who is concerned about the signs of God. God always makes himself known. I'm just looking for indications and proof. Look for someone with this sign sensitivity who is attuned to what the Lord has been doing and is doing. Or more sadly, find someone who is really interested in the weird and the wacky. They're not content with what's right here. They're not content with the steady ordinariness of daily faithfulness. You know what? We heard you, Lord. We've seen that. We've heard testimony. But you know what? We need to see something more. Our Lord does not applaud this kind of sign-seeking. Our Lord actually condemns it. Our Lord says that this is an indication of an evil and adulterous generation. Your request is evil. And we're going, what? He says it's an adulterous generation. Adulterous. Somebody who was there and decided to turn and went there. That's adultery. That's what you're doing. That's what Jesus says. The sign of Jonah, this is what you're going to get. Why is this evil and adulterous? Let me suggest that it's likely because this clamoring after this fresh spirituality, Lord, I want something more, is likely a rejection of what has already been given. It's a rejection of what's already been given. It's as if Jesus is saying, you know, there's enough of a testimony present already. It's as if the sign seekers are saying, well, you know, you're right. That's nice and good, but all I'm asking for is just a little bit. What I desire is just a little bit more. Can you do a little bit more for me? And you know what? Unbelief always does that. No, Lord, what you've done is not enough. I need more. And you know what? This is the heart of our discontent. It's the heart of our discontent. We're not grateful for what the Lord has already done. This is where what is the sign of Jonah? Why did our Lord respond that way? What an opportunity to hear our Lord's words. We might learn a little bit about ourselves. Am I regularly going, yeah, Lord, but that's good, but. You know, you've blessed me with so much, but. Oh, yeah, you know, he's fine or she's fine or this is okay. Whatever happened to the glory of daily ordinariness? Or do we get into the goriness of the constant clamor that is fueled by discontent? Faithfulness receives the gift given. and says, thank you. May I be faithful with what's present now, day after day, in my home, in my relationship, in my every relationship, at work. Faithfulness. Steadiness, because that reflects the faithfulness of our covenant-keeping God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we be a faithful people, always following our faithful Lord Jesus Christ. And amen.